Over Mobile, Alabama, Castillo ordered the boy to turn south and fly to the Gulf, and when they were over it, to turn right and start a gentle descent to 1,500 feet. By the time they reached that altitude, they were over Pascagoula, Mississippi, where the damage was literally incredible. Along the beach, the storm had either destroyed or floated away everything within a quarter or half mile of the normal waterline. "Take it down another 500 feet, co-pilot, and then I'll take it."
"Yes, sir."
The damage got worse as they flew along the beach. They saw where two floating casinos had been moved 500 yards from where they had been, moored on the beach. "Now, Randy, since I don't know where I am, or exactly where it is that I want to go, we will now let the computer take over."
"Yes, sir."
10 minutes later, they were over the landing strip of the Masterson plantation. There was clear evidence of hurricane damage. Tall pines snapped, and huge oaks, some of them obviously hundreds of years old, uprooted. But the airstrip and the house and its outbuildings seemed intact. There were a number of cars and trucks parked around the house. Castillo made two low passes over the runway to make sure it was clear. As he pulled out of the second pass to gain altitude to make his approach, he happened to glance at the boy's face. Randy clearly was excited, grinning from ear to ear. Damned shame the general stopped flying. He could have done this, and the kid could remember that. "Oh, for Christ's sake, stop it. You're here on business, not to pretend you're the kid's loving uncle." As Castillo completed the landing roll, he saw three SUVs quickly approaching the field. Then, as he taxied back to the single hangar where a sparkling V-tail Beechcraft Bonanza was tied down, he saw people. He recognized Winslow Masterson and his wife, and their daughter and her three children. There was an older couple standing with them. Logic told him they were the other grandparents, Ambassador Lorimer, the man he had come to see, and his wife. And logic told him, too, that the two approaching middle-aged men in business suits were members of China Post No. 1 in exile, the retired special operators whom Castillo had arranged for Masterson to hire to protect his daughter-in-law and grandchildren. Winslow Masterson was a tall, slim, elegant, sharp-featured man. He had told Castillo that he suspected his ancestors had been Tutsi. The men in business suits watched carefully as Castillo parked the airplane, and then one of them nodded, but didn't smile, at Castillo when he apparently recognized him. Both men then leaned against the fender of their SUV as everybody else walked up to the airplane. "Welcome back to the recently renamed Overturned Oaks Plantation, Major Castillo," Masterson said when Castillo climbed out of the airplane. "This is a pleasant surprise." "Good to see you, sir," Castillo said. "Anybody afraid of dogs?" The question seemed to surprise everybody, but no one expressed any concern. Niedermeyer opened the aircraft's rear double door, stepped out, commanded, "Okay, Max," and let loose of his collar. At the command, Max jumped out of the plane, headed for the nose gear, and relieved himself. The older Masterson boy laughed. "It took months to train him how to do that," Castillo said after everyone else had crawled out of the airplane through the same double door. "Jesus Christ, it's hot," Castillo thought. "And the humidity is damn near unbearable, worse than at Rucker."
"I'm not going to call you Major," Elizabeth Masterson, a tall, slim 37-year-old, said. "You're a friend, Charlie."
She advanced on him and kissed his cheek. "Actually, I'm a lieutenant colonel," he announced with overwhelming immodesty.
"Good for you," she said. "And is this your son, Charlie?"
"No, Randy is General Wilson's grandson." Castillo made the introductions. "General Wilson," Castillo then went on, "flew with my father in Vietnam. I bumped into him at Fort Rucker, and since we were going to fly over what used to be the beautiful Gulf Coast, and there was room in the plane,
Welcome to Overturned Oaks, formerly Great Oaks, General, Masterson said. Any friend of Colonel Castillo is welcome here. We're all indebted to the Colonel. And in that connection, Colonel, let me say that whenever your promotion came through, it was long overdue. I am ready and willing to sign autographs, Castillo said. Max had already discovered the Masterson children, and they, him.
Where'd you get the dog, Colonel?
J. Winslow Masterson III asked as he shook Max's paw.
He's awesome.
My grandmother told me that since I didn't have a family, I should get a dog. And I always do what my grandmother says.
Pay attention,
Mrs. Winslow Masterson said.
And speaking of grandparents,
Betsy Masterson said,
Dad, Mother, this is Charlie Castillo, who took such great care of us in Argentina and brought us home.
My wife and I are very grateful to you, Colonel,
Philippe Lorimer said. He was a very small, very black man with closely cropped white hair and large, intelligent eyes. If there was visible evidence of his heart condition, Castillo couldn't see it.
How do you do, sir?
Ma'am. Mr. Ambassador, the Secretary of State sends her best regards to you and Mrs. Lorimer.
That's very kind of her, Lorimer said. But why do I suspect that's not all she sent?
Sir, in fact, the Secretary hopes that you'll be willing to have a private minute or two with me, perhaps out of this heat.
Of course. But why do I suspect that's going to take a lot longer than a minute or two?
Castillo was aware that General Wilson was taking all this in, but had absolutely no idea what anyone was talking about. Ambassador Lorimer looked at Jamie Niedermeyer, then at Castillo.
I'm surprised that someone like you, Colonel, needs a bodyguard, Lorimer said.
Dad,
Betsy Masterson protested.
The one advantage to being an old and retired ambassador, sweetie, he said, is that after a lifetime of subtlety, evasion, and innuendo, you can just say whatever pops into your mind.
The same thing is true of being a retired general, Mr. Ambassador, General Wilson said.
Actually, sir, Jamie is my communicator, Castillo said. They keep me on a short leash to make sure I don't say whatever pops into my mind. Lorimer laughed.
He's got one of those satellite telephones in that suitcase?
Yes, sir.
With which you have direct contact with the Secretary of State?
Yes, sir, if you'd like to.
Don't plug it in yet, young man, Lorimer ordered. I don't wish to speak to Secretary Cohen until after the Colonel and I have our 2-minute chat.